If you haven't noticed, today is the Feast or the Day of Trumpets, Yom Teruah. It's a time that God begins to do some things. It's the beginning of the fall feasts. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to go to Leviticus chapter 23. And I really like it when the fall feasts fall on the Sabbath, because then it's a Sabbath and high Sabbath, so that makes it a double Sabbath. I don't know about you, but anytime, you know, the things of God are kind of like a buffet. I always like that double portion anointing. You know, it's like when Mary cooks, I like that double portion in my plate type of anointing. And when God does things, the only way for your tent to expand is you got to be a double portion fella. And I like double portions. I like double portions of God's presence. I like double portions of anything that God wants to do. In Leviticus chapter 23, starting with verse 1, it said, "Then the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel." Now, I want to stop right there. Can we stop right there for a minute? Who's Israel? Spiritually, not only are the Jews Israel, but the Apostle Paul said that we who were afar off were made nigh, and we have been grafted into the tree of Israel. So when we see Israel in this, Moses is speaking to us as much as he is those that were gathered that day that had been brought out of Egypt. How many know that we have been brought out of spiritual Egypt and we have been brought into a mountain to serve God? So this is speaking to us as much as it is to them. And he said to them, and say to them, the feasts of the Jews. Is that what your Bible says? Well, that's what the church teaches. These are the feasts of the Jews. God said, these are the feasts of Adonai. These are the feasts of the Lord, Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you shall proclaim to be a holy convocations. These are my feasts. You need to underline that in your Bible. These are my feasts. So it doesn't matter how you got into God, as far as you were born Jewish, a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or you were brought in and you were adopted by the completed work of Messiah. If you serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He has called holy convocations, and He says, these aren't your feasts, these are my feasts. And see, if they're His feasts, we have no authority to change them. Now, you know, we have men's groups on Wednesday night. I'm the one who proclaimed that. I'm the one who said that. And so after doing it for a couple years straight, I said I would like to take the summer off. I had the authority to do it because that was my meeting. Okay, that was my appointment that I established with everyone who wants to come. And so God has established, when He said these are feasts in the Hebrew, this is moed, which means a appointed place, an appointed time, a meeting, a consecrated holy season. God said, these you mark on your calendar, these are mine, I have an appointment with you. And because the enemy has taken us away from the cycles of God and the purposes of God, God shows up and we're not there. And then we wonder why when we have our meetings, God doesn't show up. How many know that you reap what you sow? And if God shows up and you don't show up, then there's going to be times when you show up that God doesn't show up. And so I want to set this trend right. I want to always show up when God says to show up. And if I'll show up when He says to show up, then when I need Him to show up to one of my appointments, He's going to show up. Amen. These are God's appointments. God has a divine cycle that He wants us to go through. How many know that everything in the world tries to get you out of step with heaven? Everything in the world. I mean, in relationships with others, they try to turn love into lust. In finances, They try to pick your pockets and they try to steal your blessing so that you don't have to give when God tells you to give. All these things are trying to get us out of sync with everything in the kingdom of God. And God says, listen, there are seven times a year plus the Sabbath, which is a weekly time that is an appointed time of God, which is in the same thing, in the same scriptures, that God says, if you'll meet with me, I will resynchronize you to the kingdom of God because I have an appointment with God. And whenever I come into His presence, there, how many have felt this morning kind of in your spirit there was a resynchronization going on? God was doing some things. And I think some of what the enemy tries to do to push in darkness, where we have gotten out of sync, means that we're in sync with Him. Does that make sense? Because there's only two things to get in sync to, the spirit of this world or the spirit of God. And when I'm in sync with darkness, darkness has a right to flood in, and I'm in step with darkness. But when I learn to get in step with God, all of a sudden I loose heaven and I loose the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and there becomes a new oomph to my push. There becomes new purpose. I'm not struggling to try to get into the move of the things of God. Rather, I am entering into it for my blessing. Now, when we observe all the feasts correctly, and it's not just doing them by rote, it is doing them as the Holy Spirit is prompting you. And how many know to say that doesn't mean, well, I think I'm going to do the feast next Tuesday. No, it's this day. But what is God calling you to do this day? What is the Holy Spirit prompting you to do this year as you observe the feast? What is the major theme? What is the major purpose the Holy Spirit wants to make alive? This year, it was, and with everything that's going on that we have learned, the occult always, there is a big portion of the occult, desecrate the fall feast. And this year they chose the Marshfield area because we felt it coming in. It wasn't here last year. They had an in-gathering when God has His in-gathering to try to stop what God wants done. And so this morning what we did is we pushed back and said, no, you scatter, we gather. You're not going to get any power. This is a high place that has been dedicated to God. We have already knocked over the altars of Moloch and Ashtaroth and all these different things that we have established an altar to Almighty God, and you're not coming back. And I like that God has placed us in the highest place of the Ozarks. That means from here everything else is downhill. Amen. But when we do it right, we get in the ebb and flow, we begin to understand the working of Messiah and God's plan of salvation and how to enter into God's cycles of blessing and growth in our life. I am tired of the enemy getting in and the enemy just... Have you ever felt like the enemy just kind of whittles you down? And you're not getting stronger, you're getting weaker, and you're not getting closer to God, you're getting off with God. When we learn the cycles of God, and we get into the ebb and flow, God begins to move some things and does some things within us so that we're not being whittled down, we're being built up. And I don't know about you, but a lot of us have got a lot of building up we need done because the enemy has done a lot of whittling. But when I get in that ebb and that flow, every year when I go through the cycles, God is strengthening me. He's bringing me back in divine alignment. He's begun doing things in my life so that I can fulfill my destiny. Now, why do we need to do the feasts? You know, it's interesting to me that we, those of us that say that we serve God, we have these feasts written in the Word of God. Yet we have discarded them and we have added feasts or holidays that are not found in the Word of God. And when we enter into that cycle, what's going on? Especially whenever one of them, you can lead back to Babylon. December 25th is the birthday of Tammuz. It's also the birthday of Apollos, of Zeus, of every sun god that ever was. That's his birthday. His mama's day is Easter. We don't even change the name. Both these holidays were celebrated at least 2,000 to 3,000 years before Jesus was ever born. So if I'm getting in link with some of those things, there's Candlemas and all these other messes. They're not masses, they're messes that you enter yourself into. They all go back to something that happened in Babylon. And as we observe them, we are getting out of step with the kingdom of darkness and we're getting in step with the Antichrist spirit. But I don't think there's any other way to say it. There's not any, you know, it's plain saying, well, you know, there's God's feast and there's your feast. Your feasts come from Babylon. God's feasts came from His mouth, spoken by Moses, that Jesus honored because they're all about Him. You choose. And one of the things I have found, guys, when you begin sharing this with family and sharing it with friends, nobody ever says, I can't believe you don't want to celebrate Jesus' birthday. They say, you're not going to take my Christmas. Oh, so it's yours. See, it wasn't God's to begin with. Uh-huh. Come on. And most of us, how many know that, you know, growing up as a kid, Christmas can be your favorite time. But let's strip all the pagan junk away. It was your favorite time because you were with family. God's given us seven holidays, seven holy days that we're with Him and that we're with our families. We have one every week that we can celebrate, that we can be with our families and celebrate before Him and enjoy each other's company. Why, you know, 52 plus 7 is 59, so we can give up 2 and have 59. I don't know about you, but that just sounds like a good deal to me. Maybe I do have a little Jewish in me because it really sounds like a good deal. That I can have these times to replace two that were out of line of the kingdom of God, that God never intended for us to do, that a pagan Roman emperor imposed Roman rule to usurp the authority of God. And we've just done them so long that we act like it's written in the Word of God. And it's not. It will cause us to misunderstand prophecy as well. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. You know, some people walk around saying, I just don't know when Jesus was born. Well, figure out. All you got to do is go back and figure out when Zechariah was ministering in the temple. Add 3 months to it. You find out that Jesus was conceived around Hanukkah. The light of the world came into the earth. And that He was born during tabernacles. It does not take a rocket scientist to figure it out. And so, whose birthday are we celebrating? Besides celebrating birthdays is pagan to begin with. There's only two records of it in the Word of God, and both of them were bad events. Belteshazzar's birthday and Herod's birthday. John the Baptist lost his head over it. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, remember the former things of old, for I am the Lord and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times those things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. There is something Hebraic and powerful about remembering. Every time we take communion, we're supposed to remember what Jesus did for us. Every time that we do a feast, we're supposed to remember it is a divine rehearsal. But in God's kingdom, when we rehearse what He has done, we are preparing for what He will do. Because He always tells us from the beginning how the end will be. Always. And so if I'm doing the feast right and following the Spirit of God, I am prepared for what God is going to do. And let me tell you something, there were a lot of Jewish people in the day of Jesus that added a bunch of stuff to what should have been done to the spring feast. And they missed what God did in the fulfillment of the spring feast. When the first time Jesus came, He fulfilled the spring feast. We're still at Shavuot. And when the Feast of Trumpets begins, you have to take that and lay that over the book of Revelation to understand what God's going to do in the book of Revelation. Otherwise, you have all these dispensational charts, and I have yet to see one with a menorah in it. I've yet to see one Baptist dispensationalist chart that has anything about the feast of God in it. How can you? So they're trying with a Greco-Roman mindset to understand a Hebraic book. You can't do it. But God has told us from the beginning. So as I rehearse these things, God is preparing me so that when He begins to move, I know exactly what to do. Let's go a little bit further. What does Yom Teruah teach us? Now, I don't call it Rosh Hashanah, Don't call it that. Why don't I call it that? Guys, I'm giving up a whole bunch of stuff that we have added to the Word of God that's Christian, that we say is Christian, that is not based on the Word. Why am I going to add Jewish stuff that's not in the Word of God to it either? Almighty God called it the Day of Trumpets, the Day of Blasts. He never called it the head of the year. Almighty God, when He brought Israel out of Egypt, He said, now I'm going to reset your calendar for you, because they had been 400 years living in Egypt under a pagan calendar, under a pagan system. And He said, in His sovereignty, He said, now, and it's 14 days before Passover, He said, now listen, with the Abib barley harvest, I destroyed this. This is the marking of your year. This, Almighty God says, is the head of the year. So if you have a difference between all the preachers and God, who are you going to choose? So if you have a difference between all the rabbis and God, who are you going to choose? Almighty God. What's interesting, this time of the year, and Babylon was the head of the year. So the rabbis picked it up from Babylon. And I think part of what their confusion was, God, the Bible says, God will do nothing unless He first tells His prophets. And so the prophets have to have a time to hear, to discern, and declare so that you can prepare. Does that make sense? God never just brings anything on you. So this time of year in the Feast of Trumpets, God begins declaring things to prepare you for what He's going to do the next year. And it begins on the sacred calendar. When God reestablished the calendar, what He did is He took them back to the creation calendar. I was watching a video by a man, and they went back and did all the calculations. Our month cycle is done on moon cycles, not sun cycles, right? Done on the moon cycles biblically. Well, the moon wasn't created till the fourth day, so the first month actually began on Wednesday. Okay? And so when you follow around, it follows on the exact same thing. God reset the calendar. It was a new moon when they came out of Egypt, and God reset their calendar. He did everything exactly what He was doing, and everything He did in His sovereign will. He was reestablishing them to the calendar that He established at creation. And what is amazing, when you look at everything, this the exactness of when you go back in history. Jesus, how many know Jesus wasn't crucified on Friday? He was crucified on Wednesday. If you go back astronomically, you can find out that Passover that year was on a Wednesday. You go back and calculate when Abraham offered Isaac and the time of the year, it was what would become Passover, and it was on a Wednesday. You go back and find out when they celebrated the Passover in Egypt, it was on a Wednesday. How many think God's got a calendar that He goes by? And so Yom Teruah is a time that God begins declaring things, and it is an ingathering of God's people. It is a time for us to be gathered in to prepare for what God's getting ready to do. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 54. You see, there are a lot of terminology in the Scripture that we associate with the second coming, that we associate with the rapture. That is all, whenever Paul said these phrases, or Peter said these phrases, or Jesus said these phrases, they said them, guys, now get this. Now this is deep. They said them as Jews. I know this is deep. I know this is really difficult to understand. But these were nice Jewish boys, okay? And they used Jewish terminology. They used Jewish idioms that were common among the Jewish people. And there are certain catchphrases, just like there are catchphrases that give with every Torah portion. You know, nobody walked around with a scroll, you know, and Jesus said, now I want everybody to turn to Isaiah 53. He didn't do that. Each Torah portion, each half Torah portion had a phrase that encapsulated the meaning, so that when they said it, you knew exactly where in Scripture they were going from and what story they were going from. And it was that way with many of the events. And many of the feasts had catchphrases that went with it. Now here's one. You will not know the day nor the hour. You'll not know the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come back. It's going to be suddenly because you're not going to know the day or the hour. You walked up to the Jew in Jesus' time and he said, you'll not know the day or the hour. And he says, well, is it that time of month yet? Because the new moon could happen within a several day space and it had to require two witnesses to see it. And what if it was cloudy? It could be even delayed further than that. And so that was that time of the month where the new month started. You did not know the day nor the hour. That same phrase was used for the Feast of Trumpets because two witnesses had to see the new moon. And we even see a type and shadow of it with the two witnesses that come up, and it's like they're seeing the new moon. And when they would go up to the Jerusalem gate and they say, we have seen the new moon, they would be told, come up hither. Come up so that you can tell the high priest that you as two witnesses have seen this new moon so that either the new month can start or that they can begin sounding the shofars because the Feast of Trumpets has started because it requires two witnesses declaring God's works in the heavens to get it done. And so when Jesus said, you know not the day or the hour, a Jew's mind immediately either went to the beginning of the month or it went to the Feast of Trumpets, which was an ingathering. Because it was a call to God's people to be get ready because they had to be in Jerusalem when? Day of Atonement. Had to be there. It was an ingathering. And so now, have you found 1 Corinthians chapter 15 yet? Now this is talking about ingathering that God's going to do of His people in the last days. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all be asleep, but we shall be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Well, I wonder when that trump's going to be. There is the final trump that they blow on the Feast of Trumpets that is called the last trump. There's a whole series. Now, I've not taken the time to learn the whole series that they do. But when you get to that last one, it is called the last trump. In the book of Revelation, the first thing that begins to sound as God starts dealing with an earth that has rejected Him is there are seven trumpets. And when you get to the last trump, the vials of God's wrath begin to be poured out on the earth. So when God gets ready to pour out His wrath, we're ingathered. The Feast of Trumpets is a celebration of the ingathering that I believe will happen near the end of the tribulation period. I do believe in the rapture. I just don't believe in the pre-trib rapture. You got to follow the book of Revelation. We have not been called to wrath, but we have been delivered from the wrath to come. God has not appointed us to wrath. And you can read the whole book of Revelation and God designates it. It's not in chapter 4 where everybody says, well, I don't see the church anymore. All I see is Israel. Duh. We're Israel. We were grafted into Israel. If you don't get that, if you get this replacement theology or separatist theology, then you're kind of schizophrenic when it comes to scriptures. But if we were grafted into Israel, God had to break some Jews off of Israel to graft us in, and then He's going to graft them back in, but it's Israel. And we see Israel being dealt with through the whole book of Revelation, being protected by His sovereignty, all these different things. But when that trump sounds, God is going to gather in His into a protected place so that when the wrath is poured out, it's not belong to us. And there's actually an ingathering before that, according to Jesus. He said everything that offends will be raptured out, will be gathered up first before God calls us and pulls us together. But in a twinkling of an eye, all of Israel will be gathered. That means all those that are His now and all those that ever was, there is coming a reunion like we never seen before when heaven begins to have the Feast of Trumpets for real along with us, there is going to be an ingathering, and this corruption is going to put incorruption. This mortality is going to put on immortality. And for me, all the striving will be over with. And so even those that are pre-trib rapture, every time you refuse to celebrate the feast, you are denying the rapture. Put that in your eschatological pipe and smoke it for a little bit. It's like when we don't do the Sabbath, we are denying and refusing to rehearse the millennial reign of Messiah. It's all about Him. It's all about getting into a time of Him. Now what started last night with the sounding of the shofar begins a counting of 10 days. The 10 days of awe. And for those of us that are still here, it's making sure during these 10 days I'm right with you and I'm right with God. I've got to make sure that I have partaken of my sin offering, but I've also partaken of my guilt offering. And there's a difference. When you read Torah, let's say I did something wrong to Mary and I'm going to try to make it right with God. And I go to the priest and I have my guilt offering, but I've not got it straight with her. That means I've got to go to her and get it right before I can offer up the offering. That's why Jesus said, if you get ready to give an offering and have aught against your brother, leave your offering there, go make it right with the brother. Then come back and give your offerings to God. He was specifically talking about the guilt offering. This is the time of year that we need to make sure that if we've wronged somebody, we got it right. And if we've wronged God, we got it right. And we need to hear from Him. Because it's a time that the king begins to speak. It is also a time of the year in ancient Israel. The kings, how many know that it's like today? How many know you can't get an audience with the President of the United States? You can't do it. I don't care who's in office, unless you're somebody, usually a lot of money, you're not going to get an audience with the President of the United States. It's that way with any king in any kingdom. You can't just barge into the throne room and say, I want to talk to you about something. You can't do that. But in Israel, during the 10 days of awe, it was known as the time when the king was in the field. He wasn't in the palace, he was in the field, and it was during that time that anyone in the kingdom could approach him and talk to him about anything. This is the time of year Almighty God is in the field. He's saying, I want to talk to you. Heaven is making announcements for you, and if you come to the field and meet with me in my appointed time, I'm going to start talking to you to prepare in your heart what I'm getting ready to do when my next year comes. Because how many know God already knows what He wants to start doing in March? He already knows what He wants to start doing with the next Passover and in the next year in the body of Christ and what He wants to do in America. And He begins to make announcements about it now if we'll hear Him. So for us, it is a call to a time of listening. It is a time of making sure that I'm right with God so that there can be nothing to stop up my ears. The Bible says that my sin separates me from God, so it's time to get all the sin out of the way so that I can hear what the King is trying to say to me, what He's trying to say to you. We've got to have that. Jesus talks about the last days. Now, another interesting thing that happens with the Feast of Trumpets. Everybody has their garments pressed, white, and ready. Because you don't know the day nor the hour, so you're out working in the field. You're out doing what you're supposed to be doing. And at home, you already have everything prepared because you don't know the exact day or the hour. Your garments are pressed, they are white. You know what's interesting to me? The feast or the day of trumpets is the day you should really wear white. What is the fashion faux pas? After Labor Day, you never wear what? The reason I'm not wearing white, I can't find big enough white pants to fit me. I'm good enough to find these. But it is a day traditionally you would have your garments bleached, pressed, and ready because you wore white during this time. And I remember scriptures talking about having your garments pressed and white. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 29. Now in this new series that I'm going to be teaching on Wednesday nights on the feast, we're going to get into a lot more detail on a lot of these things. You just can't do it in one service. It's something you need to take apart. And with the feast, the more you dig, the more you find. It can almost be the teaching that never ends because the more you dig, the more you find because the more you find who Jesus is. Now, I want you to... We have been told that the gathering of God's people happens before tribulation, right? I mean, I'm talking Baptist dispensationalism. That is what I was taught. It is so ingrained in me that when any preacher I see on TV starts, we were watching Hal Lindsey the other night, he started in the whole thing about the rapture. I could finish the statements before he started them because I can still, in my mind, close my eyes and see all my dispensational charts. You know what? God doesn't care about anybody's chart but his own. Okay? Now, the dispensationalists tell me that before great tribulation will be carried off, right? Jesus said immediately after the tribulation. Okay, so I know Jesus didn't break out a chart. Doggone it. He didn't have PowerPoint. He didn't have overheads. He didn't have his dispensational charts. But one thing the rabbis have right, absolutely dead right, whenever there's an argument about something, when Messiah comes, Messiah settles all things. Messiah settled this. He said after. So you can say before, Messiah said after, who's right? Yeah, but the Apostle Paul, no. The Apostle Paul knew what Jesus said. And if you're misinterpreting the Apostle Paul, it's because you're misinterpreting him. He did not correct Messiah. He proclaimed what Messiah did and Messiah said. If Paul in any place tried to correct Jesus, Paul was wrong. That's right. Everything lines up with Jesus. Immediately after tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light and the stars will fall from the heavens and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then, so you can underline after, then you can underline then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven and with all the tribes of the earth will mourn, for they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. There's that trumpet again. What day you think that is? Okay. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the other. There's the rapture. After. The whole world will see him. Now we have been taught a secret that there's going to be this secret catching away of the church. The world won't see Jesus. And we'll be caught away and they'll go, where'd it go? Isn't that the thing of rapture? All of a sudden, where'd it go? I don't know. Must have been aliens, you know. No. We didn't see what took them, but they're just gone. That's not what Jesus said. You see, because if you follow that scenario, when Jesus comes back the second time, it's actually the third time. At his third coming, every knee will bow. Maybe it was like a drive-by blessing, or he just kind of drove by. He didn't come back. He just kind of... That's not what he said. That's what we teach, but that is not what he said. The Word says, Jesus said, after. And after these things happen, how many know that right there at that last trump, the wrath of God is going to begin being poured out as he gathers us? The moon will be darkened. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. All this is going on, and God's saying, okay, I'm bringing my people out so that I can pour out my wrath. After the tribulation. After those days. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When the branch has already become tender and puts forth the leaves, and you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know it is at the door. Surely I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall take place. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. But of the day and the hour, no one knows. What's he talking about? What's that used for? The beginning of the month or the Feast of Trumpets? How many believe it's the Feast of Trumpets? Because we see trumpet blowing, trumpet blowing, trumpet blowing. It just might be the Feast of Trumpets. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. How many know that Almighty God knows exactly when the new moon is going to happen every year? He knows exactly from the beginning of time to where there's no moon left to be able to have those cycles. Almighty God himself knows before he set it into motion whenever one of them are. So the Father knows, but man doesn't know. Angels don't know. Because they don't know when two guys are going to see, the two witnesses are going to see the new moon and say, hey, it started. Nobody's going to know but Almighty God. So those things make sense. But as the days of Noah were, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days of the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving gifts to one another until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so shall the coming of man be. Then two men will be in the field and one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill and one taken, the other left. Did you know that happens? That happens every year in Israel. People are out working, trying to, all at the last minute. And how many know, in Israel today, you have Jew and Gentile working in the field together. You got them together. You did back in Jesus' day. And immediately when that trumpet was a call to the Jew and not to the Gentile. The Jew immediately stopped what he was doing and left, and the Gentile kept working. And so even that is a type and shadow of this ingathering that the world thinks they're going to go on and do like they've always done. He's never coming back. Nothing else is ever going on. The minute that trumpet sounds, we're gone. And they just act like they're going back about their business. But immediately the sun starts darkening. All of a sudden, once God takes us into that safe place, the world is never the same again, and they begin to see Him coming. They have 10 days. To get it right. We are no longer preaching the gospel. We see in the book of Revelation, angels are preaching the gospel. Now, you know, you got angels up there saying, repent, you bunch of scuzz buckets. How many know it's probably time to go ahead and repent? Okay? All the Christians are gone. All hell breaks loose. And they're getting it, we're not. You know? Maybe it's time to repent. Watch therefore that you do not know the hour. Now notice he said, now the hour that the Lord is coming. He didn't say day. Because if you understand the rhythms of God, we understand about the time, but we don't know the exact hour that the two witnesses will give testimony that the Feast of Trumpets has started. Amen? So I don't know the hour, so I got to be ready. I know the season. I know when it's coming. I know what's going on. And guys, there's a lot, one of these days I'm going to get into, as the days of Noah, that opens up a whole can of worms. About not only the evil, but Nephilim and everything else that God sealed up with the flood will be loose because it will be as before the flood, not after the flood. Which means it's time for us to learn spiritual warfare in ways that we have never understood before. But know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour that the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect, not a month, not a day. He's got it. He said, I've told you enough now, you can figure out kind of the day, but you're not going to know the exact hour. Now, a couple of the things that we need to understand, on the Jewish calendar, the rabbis have named it as starting today. I believe that year actually starts right before Passover, amen, but it's 5770. And so let's see with that date, that biblical date, if we can understand what God's doing. 70 is the Hebrew letter Ayin, which means eyes. That God's eyes are getting ready to get on His people like never before. And that is very significant. Because I mean, in the Aaronic blessing, may the Lord's face shine upon you. May He put His countenance upon you. There is an understanding that when God's gaze is upon you, that everything that heaven has to offer begins to flow towards you. You see, we think of, you know, God's got His eyes on you. Oh no, oh no. No, you're redeemed. You're no longer a Gentile. You're no longer without God. When God looks at you, He's looking at you as a loving father looks at his son, looks at his daughter, wants the very best for them. When God's countenance is upon you, that it's a part of the Aaronic blessing. When His countenance is upon you, the blessings flow. This next year is going to be a year that God's blessings are going to flow, and that He's going to enable us
to reestablish our tents, to reestablish our homes, and to dig our wells deeper in Him. It's going to be a year for us to dig deep in God and to hit water that we didn't even know existed anymore. How many know the coolest water comes deep down? The really pure water comes deep down. And God is saying this is going to be a year for us to establish and to dig down in those wells that we're going to develop a relationship with God like we have never had before. Because we need it for the days ahead. But I like, as I was looking at all letters, 5770. Five is He in Hebrew, which means to behold, to reveal, window. Seven is Zion, which means cut off weapon. Then 70 is I. And God says, this is also a year, if you're faithful to dig your wells with me, that I'm going to loose a new weapon against your enemies, and you're going to see them, you're going to behold them being cut off from before your own face. You're going to see, the Bible says that I will see my desire upon my enemies. This is going to be the year coming up that if I prepare myself and do right, that every enemy the enemy has placed within my life to hold me back, to trip me up, to keep me from doing what God wants me to do, God is going to loose a weapon that I'm going to see them, their power cut off out of my life forever if I flow with God the way that I need to. That's part of what God is trying to speak to us right now in this season. He's saying, prepare. If you quit playing church and you start really expanding your base, expanding your tent and getting it ready, establishing your homes the way that I have told you to, and you get your shovel and you begin digging that new well, be like Isaac, that when you dig a well, he not only unstopped the wells that the enemies had stopped up of Abraham, which we're doing with the Hebraic Roots Movement, by the way, we're unstopping those wells, but I've got to be the faithful Isaac that I dig new wells. And when Isaac dug his own well, he had an artesian well. It can burst up out of the ground. That's what God wants to do in our lives. That's what God is announcing from heaven. That is prophetically what He's releasing. And if I am faithful to do what He has called me to do, then He's faithful to fulfill it. If I'm faithful, He's faithful. Amen? Now, how many know God is always faithful, but sometimes He can't because I won't? How many times have you wanted to bless your own kids, but you couldn't because they wouldn't? I remember one time, and it was my kids, one summer, we had had it. Because they bickered back and forth. And I said, you know what? You do this for this amount of time, I'm going to get each one of you a little TV set. Man, those horns disappeared like that, and little halos went poof. And they were perfect because they knew that if they would, I could. But if they wouldn't, I couldn't, because I gave my word saying, if you do this, I'll do this. And they knew enough to know that if they didn't, I wasn't going to. How many have done that with your kids? Well, if you, knowing how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father? God is saying, when you will, I will. When you bless me, I bless you. When you remember what I've done, I'll loose your prophetic destiny in you. When you enter into the rhythm of heaven, I'll bring you back into the rhythm of heaven. And God is saying, if we will establish and deepen, that He's going to cut off the things the enemy has placed in our lives to keep us back. I'm ready for it. I am ready for it, guys. I am ready for it. I can't wait for it to happen. I can't wait for it to, it's like, you know, Lord, if I hit a mile, and that's, you know, stop me before I go too deep, because this year we need to dedicate ourselves. I'm going to get deeper in God. Each one of us have a well. Patrick, you have a well to dig. Patty, you have a well to dig. Ben, you have a well to dig. All of us have this well. God is saying, if you'll dig it, I will fill it with the power of my Spirit. Some of us may dig a little deeper or a little differently than others. Each one of us have our own unique way. How many know that Abraham may have dug wells different than Isaac, and Isaac dug wells different than Abraham? Because God had a gifting and a purpose in him to deepen that relationship with Almighty God. But in the spiritual type and shadow, when we do that, I want Isaac's well. I want that artesian well. I want that one that springs up. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. But how can you have a well if you don't dig? Come on. How can you have a well if you don't dig? But if you dig it, God says, I'll fill it. So maybe it comes down to how much you want, because you got the size of the well has to be in proportion to how much God's going to give. So how much you want? That's how deep you got to dig. If you want a big basement on your house, you got to dig a big hole. Amen? So if I want a deep well, I've got to dig a deep well. But God guarantees me this year, if I do it, I don't care what you've done before. If the devil's telling you, well, I tried that before and it didn't work. This is a prophetic mandate from God. God says, I don't care what happened in the past. You dig a well this year, and I'm going to fill it. I'm going to fill it with the strength that you need for the days ahead. I'm going to fill it with the provision you need for the days ahead. I'm going to fill it to give you the refreshing that you need, because you have went through a dry and a weary land. I mean, it felt like you went through the desert this year. I'm tired of desert. I'm ready to find a pool. Amen. I'm ready to find that oasis that God has for me. And God says, if you dig it, I'll fill it. Well, Father, this morning we thank you in the holy and the precious name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that your word does not return to us void, but will always accomplish whereunto you have sent it. And Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit would bring to memories, to seal to our purpose and to seal to our consciousness that which you have spoken this morning, so that we can be ready for what you're going to do. And Father, this is going to be a year that you're going to move and that you're going to establish. And woe be to hell if it tries to stop it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen.